Shogger, I know you went on a fishing excursion and you didn't get any bites. But Dave Tippett, I would load up McDavid and Draisaitl to start the game. What would you do?
Well, I guess it depends on whether he's looking for some sort of deception or something. I mean, they didn't run any lines of practice yesterday. They didn't run any lines of practice today. I wonder what they'll do in warm-up. It'll be interesting to see if he'll sort of show that hand ahead of time. I don't know if it does any good or not, if it you know, throws anybody off or not. But, yeah, I mean, looking at the numbers and looking at the way that it went when he put them together, I think they outshot the Jets. I had it here somewhere today.
It was 32. They outshot them 32-20 at 5-on-5.
No, but what I was going to say is when McDavid and Draisaitl are on the ice together, they pretty dramatically out. I think they outshot them 7-0 or something like that, and outchanced them 12 or out. Of course, he was 12-4 or something like that. So I mean, the ice was tilted for a lot of that game, but I think it was even more when McDavid and Draisaitl were together. The other thing, like Dubois coming back in, and it changes the dynamic a little bit, but I don't think it's enough that you worry a ton about the matchups. So I think, yeah, I think it makes sense to give them some more ice time together. Now, whether he starts them like that and then goes to it, or whether he leaves it the same and then waits to see if anything happens early, and if nothing happens early, then maybe goes to it a little sooner than he did last game, I could see that too.
Well, Shogger, in 6 minutes, the Oilers had, with Draisaitl and McDavid together, they played 6:43. They outshot the 7-0. They had, Corsi, which is, you know, shot attempts 13-2. Expected goals was 83%. Scoring chances were 6-1. And, you're down 1-0 in the series. Like, all those numbers to me suggest you put them together and, you don't put Puljujärvi on that line. You put either Yamamoto, or I know you mentioned yesterday Cahoon was out there, even though they weren't official line rushes, according to Tippett, but it was Cahoon there. And Draisaitl can play the right side like he did with Maroon anyway a few years ago. It's definitely an option for the Oilers, and I just think you're better off having Puljujärvi on the other line because right now he's your third best forward.
Yeah, he played well. And so if you want to combine him with Nugent Hopkins, try and put together a second line that can drive some play. Puljujärvi is probably your best chance to do that, so you don't necessarily want to load up one line with the three forwards that are all playing, you know, they're high-end guys. So, yeah, let's see what he does. I mean, it'll be interesting. I think they missed an opportunity, right? You're playing a Jets team that didn't have Dubois or Ehlers in, and they just weren't able to capitalize and weren't able to finish. It was interesting today Tippett said he was okay with the amount of traffic they had in front of Hellebuck. He felt like they had enough guys there. He just wants them to capitalize on some chances. So whether he really believes that or not, or he's just, you know, that's the line to the media, I'm not sure. But, yeah, I think making life a little more difficult for Hellebuck if they can has to be a priority.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. You know, we'll have Sarah Oleski on later. Dubois hasn't done what they've hoped from Dubois, but he's not going to be rusty. He only missed one game, right? He played last Friday. He has been on the wing more, but it's still an upgrade for sure. And you and I were watching Nick Ehlers. Like, he looks closer and closer all the time. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Nick Ehlers make an appearance in this series either Thursday or Friday. Or, sorry, Sunday or Monday.
Sunday or Monday, yeah, it could be. And Maurice left the window very much open for that possibility. So I think we probably see him Sunday. Like, I watched him. He skated today, took the optional. Looked like he was doing everything. Looked like he was moving fine, was shooting fine. Then he stayed out late with the extras. Then they did shooting drills. They did skating drills. They did all sorts of stuff. So, like Paul Maurice said in his availability, it looks like a guy that wants to play. I mean, it kind of looks like Cassian did right before Tippett went back to him in the lineup. So that'll be a big addition when they get him back. They don't have him tonight, and the Oilers need to take advantage because they're still depleted if they don't have him. And you gotta jump on teams when they're banged up like this. I just think the Oilers need to figure out a way to start on time. Like, go out and throw a few good shifts together and get things going your way early on, and not be nervous about the moment, not be anxious, not be jittery. You know, it's easier said than done, but this team needs to develop that quality in the postseason.
Yeah, because in the regular season they didn't have a lot of slow starts at all this year. They were the highest scoring team in the first period for the longest stretch. I think actually then they had a dip and then they ended up at the end of the season. I still think they scored the most goals in the first frame.
Well, you're not nervous though. What do you have to be jittery about in the regular season, right?
Yeah.
So whatever it is about the playoff moment, and it's more, it is more pressure, and I'm sure it's more stressful, and it's, you know, there's more pressure not to make mistakes. It probably everything feels like a bigger deal. It's, there's absolutely, there's got to be something to it. But they just, as a group, they gotta get past that and come out and start games well, start them on time. Don't be a team that has to back into games. And I have a feeling it'll be a one game thing. McDavid talked a little bit today about, you know, you watch playoffs with all these fans for 4 days on TV, and then you come out and again it's an empty building, and though it's for both teams, and a little bit jarring. So I don't know how you go out and dictate. I don't have the answer. It's just good teams do that. And the Oilers need to develop that in their game.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. You know what? There's not a whole bunch else to say, because I don't think the Oilers, you know, there wasn't glaring weaknesses in their game on Wednesday. I felt that, you know, obviously that they need to be a little bit more assertive. I would like to see them. I felt the one area, maybe it's jitters, and I asked Dave Tippett about it, but like they missed a lot of passes just off a bit where, you know, like you, Slater Cuckoo in the slot, he's in a great shot, tries to shoot it, ends up throwing it in the corner. You know, Darnell Nurse a few times had the puck. There's a guy open, didn't put in his skates, didn't get him to him, you know, and he'd made those plays earlier. You know, those are just a few guys. Obviously there was other ones, and you know, I feel the Oilers just, you know, they weren't just as crisp. I think that was the word Tippett used today, and I agree with that assessment. And Edmonton needs to be crisper tonight, including their two best players.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, nerves, jitters, anxiousness can manifest itself in different ways. You can get caught standing around watching, lack of assertiveness, or it can just muck with your hands. And I think that's what it did. I think Tippett said that yesterday. I think he had said that. It kind of showed itself in the in some of their puck handling and some of their puck plays that they would normally be pretty solid on. They were throwing some stuff away and mishandling some things and bobbling some stuff. So I think that's how it reared its head, whatever nerves that they were feeling. So, yep, you got to get past that. You got to start on time. And we'll see what happens tonight, man. If we're talking about another strange start to the game for them, now that's a pattern. And so I don't know if we will be or not. We'll see.
Some people felt like, oh, no fans. Maybe that's why their game lacked emotion. Well, I don't really agree with that, because I saw the Toronto-Montreal game, and there was no fans in that building. And, man, right from the opening face-off, those two teams were running at each other. And you know, that was an exciting game. Obviously, the unfortunate sequence with John Tavares, just a freak play where he falls down, and Corey Perry hits him right in the head as he's on the ice, kind of runs into his knee pad. And obviously, Tavares, you know, sent out the release today. He's fine. He's back at home. He's recovering. He's out indefinitely. It was a pretty obvious concussion for him. What did you make of the Leafs and Habs game, Shogger? Because their Achilles heel really bit them in the third period. They can't score in the power play, and then they gave up the game-winning shorthanded goal with under 8 minutes to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the playoffs, everything tightens up. And so when things tighten up the way they do, moments matter, little moments matter. And that's why I always judge players on how they play in moments in the playoffs that matter. And there just are some moments that matter than others, matter more than others. So, you know, they got a spectacular play. It was just a spectacular shorthanded effort, a fantastic goal, and totally changes the momentum, changes the entire series with something like that. And it's little moments, right? So which side of those moments are you going to be on? Are you a player who makes sure you don't get on the wrong side of those moments by taking care of all the details? Because there's a lot of moments that happen through the course of a 56 or 82 game season, but they're weighted heavier in the playoffs. And the Habs had their moments last night, right? And Toronto Maple Leafs, on their power play, they didn't. You know, 5-on-5, they weren't able to come through. And, you know, good for the Habs. They made that a heck of a... It's going to be really interesting now. And it was obviously that was really difficult to watch, the Tavares stuff. Boy, it was... I was sitting at home just feeling sick to my stomach. I don't know how you felt. When I saw him put his hand up and give the thumbs up, I was just like, oh, okay, thank goodness. That was such a relief to see him give the thumbs up like that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's, I don't take concussions lightly at all. They're very serious. We see them in games, you know, Jujar Kara this season. That one, because it was kind of almost in slow motion, right? You see him sitting up, and then the trainer's there, and then it kind of falls back over, and it's all awkward. Like, it just didn't...
That was awful. Yeah,
it didn't look good, for sure. You know, and you just hope that his wife and family and parents and young kids, you know... Obviously, they're watching it, so you know that would make it challenging for sure. But you know that game was good. But man, the Islanders Penguins game, like I had channels going on. I had my PVR. I was watching one game, like because the Tampa Florida game was unbelievable. Then you got the Islanders and the Penguins game, and then you had Toronto. So I was PVR in all three, and then I would just switch back and forth, and I would kind of watch like 10 minutes of one, then I would go watch the other one, then I could go back and record. It was unbelievable, man. I'm telling you, like PVR is the greatest invention. And last night, like that Florida Tampa game, oh, it had at all. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one as much. I just sort of picked up the highlights on that. We're seeing some pretty entertaining stuff, man. Like, even the Washington series, too. There's some real drama that's happening there and some great battles that are happening there. Yeah, it's tons of fun. I'm really enjoying it. And, it's such a difference. The atmosphere that we're watching in these games that are being played in the States, it's like, I can't wrap my head around what it would feel like to sit in that building with all those fans again and have it just be normal. I can't imagine what that would feel like for those players who, you know, have been playing in front of all these empty buildings for so long, and you know what that'll feel like when, you know, the players in the North, if they get a chance to do that at some point here soon. It's very different. It's got to be very, very different, and I do think it probably does make a significant difference. You know what I really like, though? I like the fact that both Tippett and Connor McDavid today said that they appreciated and noticed the fans who were all in their vehicles circling the rink, honking their horns, knowing that that was when the players were arriving. And when I arrived at the rink yesterday, it was still going on, and I thought to myself, you know what, that's pretty cool. I have people with flags and honking and, you know, driving around very safely, just driving around, letting the team know that they were there. We saw a bit of that at the World Juniors, too, with hockey fans outside the building and stuff. I thought it was good that both Tippett and McDavid made mention of that today.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? They'd love to have fans back in the building. You know, maybe it'll happen later on. We'll see. If vaccinations keep going up, great. Numbers are coming down for COVID cases, which is awesome. So that's what we keep needing to see moving forward. One last one for you, Shogger. As you look... the orders tonight and matchups. Like Dave Tippett, he's going to run the McDavid line, whoever. So I'm guessing it's going to be the split between Scheifele and Lowry again, as we saw in the opening night. But what about the, you know, like we know that Barry and Nurse are going to play a lot with McDavid and Drysdale. It's worked. That's how they're able to create a lot of points. So why would you change it? But what did you think of the other two defense pairings in game one?
The other two defense pairings. Larson and Kulikov had, I don't know what that was, if it was a miscommunication. It was just kind of an awkward moment there where, you know, what should have been a fairly innocuous play, a guy is able to squeak through. So first of all, they get the initial shot, and then a guy squeaks through. So that wasn't ideal. But, I mean, they didn't give up a lot as a group. I mean, the Oilers in general didn't give up a heck of a lot in that game. So I don't really have a ton of criticism. Like, Slater Cuckoo was... I don't think he handled the puck with any more difficulty than Darnell Nurse did in that game. You know, I thought he was okay. Ethan Bear had a few nice, elusive moments in his own end, but, you know, some mistakes in there as well. So it's not the absolute backbone of their team, right? It's not a dominating defense core that it's going to win you game after game. That's not what the Oilers are. They just need to get... good play from their blue line, and I thought that what they got from their blue line, I thought was enough for them to have a chance to win that game, and they didn't. So they were fine, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Shogger, enjoy the game. We'll see you at the rink.
Sounds good, buddy.